Right now, let's jump in. So we had seen last week, again, this little piece, juicy piece of Gemara, the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara told a story. This just again to contextualize. The Gemara spends time in the course of Daf Beis going to Daf Gimel, trying to figure out the first word in the Masechta, Or Larba Asar. What does the word Or mean? Or means light, but here it means night. As the Gemara comes to realization of Gimel Amud Aleph, that's a euphemism, clarifies it's a euphemism, and that begins a discussion about Lashon Naki, and speaking in positive ways. Which on Gimel Amud Beis brings the Gemara to some stories of how people were caught by the way that they spoke. So the Gemara first tells in Gimel, earlier in Gimel Amud Beis about a Kohen who spoke in an unrefined, coarse way about the Avodah, and that tipped off the Chacham, the Beis HaMikdash, there was something wrong with this Kohen. And that brings us to this story of the fellow who had been a participant in Karban Pesach, and the way he spoke tipped off his fellow Chabura members that there was something very off with him. Namely, they realized that he was not Jewish and was not authorized to participate in Karban Pesach. Had to tip him off, because as the Gemara tells, when he had earlier in the year told bragged to Yehuda ben Becerra that I get to eat Karban Pesach, so Yehuda ben Becerra set up a trap for him, and he egged him on. You claim that you get the best meat. You're not getting the best meat. They're not giving you the alya. They're not giving you the tail. And Yehuda ben Becerra calculated correctly that while all the Jewish members of the Chabura would know the din, based on the pasuk in last week's Sedra, that when you're makir of a keves, makir of a sheep, the alya, the tail, is part of the emurim, one of the parts that gets burnt on the mizbeach. Human beings don't eat it, but the Jewish members of the chabur would know that din. But this Arami, this Aramean non-Jew, this Turkish, Syrian non-Jew, would not know that din. And when he would ask and insist, he wants a tail, that Rebbeinu Ben Becerra told him to insist on the tail, the tail, the tail of the animal, that would tip off the Jews around to understand that something's fishy. And that's what happened. And they badku acharav, they investigate his background, they discover that he is a Nachri uketaluhu. They put him to death. We left off last time with three kashas. Three kashas. The first one is the Tosfos Dir Maaseh Va'ana points out that there is a debate Rishonim. You can phrase it as a question. The question would be, why did the Jews originally think that he was Jewish? I mean, once they did Bedika, once they investigated, they were able to figure out there was evidence that he wasn't Jewish. It wasn't unknowable, because once they were Bodik, they discovered, indeed, he's not a Jew, unauthorized to eat Karban Pesach. So how come they didn't do the Bedika originally? It seems like they didn't initially do any Bedika, because if they would have done Bedika originally, they would have discovered it earlier. So does that indicate that if a person comes and says, I'm Jewish, you can just believe him on his say-so? So Tosis starts off by saying, there's no proof from here that you believe someone who says it. But there is a proof from elsewhere. The Gemara in Perek HaCholetz, in Yevamos, that indicates that you believe someone. If you look into Rishonim, Rabbeinu David, Tosis Shams, they quote Rabbeinu Tam did bring a raya from our sukkah. Our Tosis responded to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, from the beginning of the Baalei Tosis, he said, oh, you see from our sukkah that if a person comes and says Yisrael Ani, you can believe him on his say-so. You're allowed to self-identify in that way. You have that ne'emanus, even though it's sort of like a logical cycle. He's ne'eman, if he's a Jew, then he has ne'emanus. We believe you that you are a Jew. And Tom said, yes. And one of the rayas is our sugya. Our Tosis says, our sugya is not such a raya. There are other rayas. It is true. The din is true that you're ne'eman to say it, but no raya from our sugya. Why? Tosis says, no raya from our sugya because going back to the beginning of the year in Maseches Chulin because of Rov. So it says, here it wasn't, who says they were believing on his say-so? It's not because he said, I'm Jewish. Because 95% of people in Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach are Jewish. 99% of people in Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach are Jewish. So it wasn't a question of believing his word, it was a Rov. Okay, that's an interesting discussion. It has a number of practical nafkaminas, and it's an interesting angle on this sugya. So that's the first issue, the question of why did the Jews previously believe him? Was it because of the Rov? Was it because he's Naaman? That's question number one. Tosas va'anna. You know what? Let's put this up on the board. That's question number one. Right, question number one, why did they originally believe him? And that might be because he has Nehemonis, or it might be because of the Rov. Tov. And there's more in the Tosas also. Tosas points out there may be other cases, Tosas points out, where you would not believe him. That's the pushback. There's another Gemara in Perek Achos Daf Mem Vav that seems to say you don't believe the fellow just because he says he's Jewish. That's part of the conflict here. On the one hand, that Gemara says says you don't believe him. On the other hand, the Gemara says you do believe him. Gemara Mem Hey Yivam says you do believe him. The Tosas wants to figure out why that Gemara is different. Maybe there's a chazaka against. Okay, that was issue number one. Why did they originally believe him? Issue number two was the question that the Minchas Chinuch had raised. Is when they ultimately discover that indeed he's not Jewish and indeed he's not authorized to eat Karban Pesach. So you would expect them to say, you need to leave now. You expect them to say, I'm sorry, we'll give you your money back after Yom Tov, but we can't feed you Karban Pesach. You're a non-Jew and you can't eat. Or if it was already too late and he'd already eaten by the time they were done with the bedikah, then they would tell him, you're not invited back next year. That we would expect. That's the din. Kol ben eicha le'ochobo, kol ar le'ochobo. At the psukim that the Nachri himself quotes in our Gemara. A pasuk in the psachim dat gilom beis. But kitaluhu, why did they kill him? Like that, you saw that's the Minchas Chinuch raises that question. Why did they kill him? Why the capital punishment? Which, if you want to, you could break down to two sub-questions. Number one, why is it capital punishment? It's not a chiyuv misa, it's just a lav. It's a lav in the Torah. Kol ara le'yochobo, it doesn't say mos yumas. And why is the Nachri being punished? Why is he getting any... he didn't do anything wrong. We did something wrong. So that you saw... There are several answers. Now let's take a look. The Minchas Chinuch points out. And let's take a look at that together. Here we are. Everyone see the Sefer Chinuch and the Smag. You see the Sefer HaChinuch, we've learned Sefer HaChinuch in the past. He's one of the Sifrei HaMitzvahs, and he goes Al Seder HaChumash. So he gets up to this is Mitzvah 14, because this is in Parshas Bo. And one of the things about Sefer HaChinuch is at the end of the Mitzvah, he's one of the ones who always gives the philosophy of the Mitzvah. He also, at the end of the Mitzvah, will always specify what does it mean to violate the din and what the punishment is. You see, he begins by, he always has four parts. His first part is the basic definition of the mitzvah and the pasuk. Here we go. The beginning of the mitzvah, Dal shelo lahachlum b'sar ha-pesach l'ger v'toshav. An aveira, one's not allowed to feed the meat of Karm Pesach to ger v'toshav. What do I mean ger v'toshav? Shenemar toshav v'sachir lo yochabo. Someone who's a toshav, a resident, or a sachar, a hired worker, cannot eat Karm Pesach. What does that mean? What does the terms mean? Hatoshav adam min ha'umo shekiba alav sholavot avodah zarah v'ochel nevelos. A toshav, a resident, is a non-Jew, we would call a ger toshav. He's not Jewish, but he's a non-Jew who accepted in a formal way that he's going to keep the Shabbat Mitzvah Be'Noach. But ochel nevelos, he still eats treif, and he's not keeping Tarek Mitzvahs. He's not a ger tzedek. He's a non-Jew who accepted to keep the Shabbat Mitzvah Be'Noach he's supposed to keep, and as a result, is permitted al pi halacha to live in Eretz Yisrael. He's a permanent resident, a legal permanent resident. A sachir is ger shemal v'lo taval. Shekem pir shalcham zechron levracha. Chazal say a sachir is someone in this kind, in the context of this pasuk, toshav v'sachir, it means a non-Jew who already began the process of geirus. He's mal v'lo taval. He already underwent the milah, now they're waiting for the milah to heal before he goes to mikveh. He goes to mikveh, that will complete the geirus process. So even though he already started, he already has a bris milah, but we're waiting, it's going to be a few weeks until he finishes the geirus process. We say, I'm sorry, until it's done, until it's complete, you're not allowed to eat Karm Pesach. Okay. Right? And then the Minchas Chinuch goes on to talk about the Sharashay HaMitzvah, what some of the reasons for the din. This is Karm Pesach celebrates the unique relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, so it's only appropriate for someone who's a member of that bris. And then at the end he says, now Hegetz B'Zman Abayis B'Zchar Menekev, it only applies when you have a Beis HaMikdash, applies to both men and women. Over Alela, if someone violates it, he's overall law, he violates this law. But how do you violate? Over Alela, someone violates it by feeding Karm Pesach to one of these people. And as you saw, the Minchas Chinuch points out, there's a machlokus between the chinuch, on the one hand, versus turning the page, the smag. Because of the smag, the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, another one of the Sifrei Mitzvahs of the Rishonim. This was smag was actually written by an Ashkenazi, by one of the Bayatosis. I believe it was written by Rabbeinu Moshe Mikutzi, Rabbeinu Moshe of the city of Kutzi, Kuf Vav Tzad Yud, or C-O-U-C-Y, Rabbeinu Moshe of Kutzi. He was an Ashkenazi who learned Rambam. He was, I think, usually assumed to be the first Balatosis to quote Rambam extensively. So when he defines the mitzvah, here we go, mitzvah Shin Nun Dalad, his hero of Parshas Bo, the Torah warns us in Parshas Bo, Shlo Yochal Toshav V'Sachir B'Pesach. The Toshav V'Sachir cannot eat Karban Pesach. So what's the difference? What's the difference? The difference is subtle but important. Say the Minchas Chinuch points out over here, at the beginning of Ozbeis, Hasmag Sham Nira Da Lavu Al Ha'ochel. The Smag said that the lav is that the Toshav V'Sachir is not allowed to eat Shlo Yochel. He may not eat it. Because the Isser is on the Goy. The Goy is not allowed to eat Karm Pesach. He says, but the Rambam, Kan, Hei Zayin Halacha Zayin, Havarava Machaber, the author, meaning the Sefer HaChinuch, because the Minchas Chinuch is a page written in the Sefer HaChinuch. So when he says Harav Machabri means the Sefer HaChinuch, Sovrim the Lav Koil HaMachil. They hold that the Lav is on the feeder, meaning if Machok's Rishon level of Daraisa, when a non-Jew eats Karban Pesach, as in our Gemara, who did the Avera? Whose Avera was it? The Smag holds that passage in Parshas Bo is an Isser against Goyim eating Karban Pesach. It's the Isser that devolves on the Goy. The Goy does the Isser. The Goy is the address of that Isser. While the Rambam and the Chinuch say, no, Shlo Yachil, as a Jew, I'm not allowed to feed it to a guy. It's my Avera. I did not Avera if I provided to him. Not just Lifnei Iver to provide to him. It's my Avera. In other words, the Smag holds that the non-Jew did a chet if he ate Karm Pesach. The Rambam and the Chinuch say, what type of chet did the non-Jew do? It's not one of the Shabbat Mitzvahs B'Noach. It's a Jewish Aveira. Jews are not allowed to share Karban Pesach with a non-Jew. You see, footnote number Beis, and they point out that Tosfos at Rosh, in Yevamos, he actually goes through both sides of this machlokas. His Havamina is like the Smag, and his Maskana is like the Rambam and the Chinuch. Tosfos Rosh begins by assuming it's the Isser on the guy, and then he says, Dvar Temu, how could it be that the guy is Mitzuvah? It's not when the Shem is Bein Noach. So it says, so Tosfos Rosh comes to the conclusion, like the Rambam and the Chinuch. So why are we raising this? Number one, because, okay, in Yanei Maseches Pesachim, there's more of the later Prakim Hay through Tes, focus on Karban Pesach. But the Sefer, the Minchas Chinuch goes on to say, here, Dimaschul Ulich Ora, he says, our Gemara works very well according to the Smag. They executed the Nochri. What did he do wrong? What did he do wrong? So he says, okay. Maybe here's why they executed him. He did the Aveira of Kol Ara Lo Yochal Bo, Kol Tosha V'Sacha Lo Yochal Bo. Maybe he violated that this Aveira, and he still have to work out how, if that somehow fits under the rubric of Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, what was the non-Jew's chet? What was the non-Jew's chet? Why the capital punishment? Let's rephrase. What was the Nachri's Avera? Right? So one solution is, according to the Smag, we'll say it was eating Karban Pesach. Right? Tosha V'Sacher, the Isser against the assume that he quoted in the Gemara. He said, "Oh, look, you see, you have a din that a guy can't eat Karban Pesach and Aro can't eat Karban Pesach. Look at me, I'm eating." So according to the Smag, it was talking his violation. But then the Sefer Chinuch goes on to the Sefer Chinuch even initially quote the Minchas Chinuch. Excuse me, the Sefer Chinuch is the Rishon in the middle. Minchas Chinuch is the Achron on the side. So initially the Minchas Chinuch had said, "Oh, our Gemara is a riot to the Smag." That explains why he had what crime the Nachri had committed. But then he goes on to say, "Ain't a raya gemura." It's not such a great proof because there could be other explanations. Why else? In other words, there could be other answers to question number two. What other answers are there? So first, he says at the end of this paragraph, end of Dimasul Luchora, he says, "You know, you and I learned the Ramban many moons ago in Parshat Vayeshev, in Parshat Yishlach. Yaakov comes back to Eretz Yisrael, and in the episode of Shechem, Ramban discusses what chet did the Bnei Shechem commit, as a result of which they would have been chayiv misa. Now the Ramban says, and that's what the Minchas Chinuch. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says. He says what? There may be some other errors that they committed. And the Ramban said, look, these people in Shechem, they were all of the Avodah Zarah. They probably were Gazlam at other times. It also has other errors. So that's came back to the page. Came back to our. Coming back to our whiteboard here, right? So another answer is based on the Ramban. Some general violation of the Sheva Mitzvos, right? And then he actually even has a third answer. If you move further down the Minchas Chinuch, Diyam Asul Od. He has an answer and even an extra clever charivistika twist of worthy of the Minchas Chinuch. It's always a super charif. He says, this very event involved a violation of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. Without coming on to the Smag, the eating Karban Pesach is an avera on the guy. He says, which, you tell me, Chevra, which of the standards of Mitzvah Bei Noach is being violated when you by this guy when he ate Karban Pesach? Gezel. Fantastic, right? It's Gezel. How is it Gezel? Gezel from whom? What, I'm sorry? Oh, good. So he says, the two ways to understand the Gezel. And he says, it was Gezel either from people or from Hashem. Because his number one, he bought meat under false pretenses. And he registered for Karban Pesach. Here you have this group of Jews that bought a sheep, and they sold him a chalik in the sheep under false pretenses. He presents himself as a Jew, and he engaged in false advertising. That's how, if they would have known he wasn't Jewish, they never would have agreed to sell him a piece of Karban Pesach. So he says number one, Pashup Shat, this gezel from the Jews. He says number two, he says what DJ says at the end, he has this charifistic twist. He says, the Gemara uses language sometimes that Kohanim is Shulchan Gavoa Ka'achli. That the Kohanim eat the carbon from Mishulchan Gavoha, from the table, from the divine table. Really, it's a Ron Shalom's carbon. Here, over here. That's Mamun Gavoha, Mishulchan Gavoha Ka'achli. You're eating off of the divine table. Mishulchan Gavoha Ka'zacho. He has a Kachem discussion. Is that true for the Chelek that the Yisraelim eat as well? This is not Kohanim. The Karban Pesach eaten by old Jews. So Minchas Chinuch says, if you're going to make the Kachem assumption that this idea of Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu, right over here, Mishulchan Gavoa Kazachu, that's true for when all Jews eat carbon, not just the Chelek HaKohanim, and really the carbon, so to speak, belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but here even more so. And Kadosh Baruch Hu was granting us the capacity to sort of really should go on the Mizbeach, but he's like sharing part of it with people. So then your mom is stealing. If you let me come to your table because you thought that I was Reuven, really I'm Shimon, my mom is stealing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give him permission to share the food from the divine table. Okay, so coming back. So far, two questions and several answers. Question number one was a question of Tosfos, Dir Maschil, Va'ana. Again, why are they believing him initially? Why didn't they do the investigation in Meirosh? Either because Taka there is Nemanus, or because here there was a rov. Most people in Yerushalayim, Erev Pesach, are Jewish. There for the Karban Pesach. Number two, what avera did this fellow commit? So either the Sefer Minchas, that was Minchas Chinuch's question. Either second Minchas Chinuch, well, the Machlok is Smag and other Rishonim, Smag versus Rambam, Chinuch, and Tosa Rosh, whether the Goy is Muzhar on not eating Karban Pesach. So if you hold like the Smag, that was the avera they did. Okay. And what if you say like the other Rishonim, like the Rov Rishonim, like the Chinuch and the Rambam, and the Tosa Rosh's Maskana, then no, it's an avera for Jews to share Karban Pesach with non-Jews. It's not the non-Jews. He's not doing anything wrong. It's not when the Shem is Bein Ach. So then, either you'll say, sort of generally, well, maybe there was some other Shem Mitzvah Bein Ach violation that the non-Jew had in the past. Or maybe specifically, this episode was a violation of Gezel. He had stolen meat, bought under false pretenses from these Jews. And he was perhaps also in violation of Gezel, so to speak, from the Kaddish Baruch Hu, because every carbon maybe is Mishulchan Gavoa Kazach. But then, there's question number three. Question number three is the one that perhaps leads to the richest vistas of all in terms of where the Terutzim lead us. What's question number three? Question number three was a question that the Kasha that Tosas asked in the next Tosas, Dimasal Me'alya. The second question in Dimasal Me'alya. The second question in Dimasal Me'alya is this Gemara so complicated? Why don't you remember say, the complexity, the brilliance, and the complexity of Yehuda ben Maaseiah's stratagem is going to get the non-Jew to self-identify by playing his ego to demand the Aliyah. Why didn't Rebbe say just come himself? Apparently, he didn't come for Karban Pesach. What I read, as they tell him in the note, right? You're a Netzivan, but your net reached all the Yerushalayim. Why is he a Netzivan? He should be in Eretz Yisrael. He should be in Yerushalayim with the rest of them. Aliyah L'Rega, Karban Pesach. Let's take a look at Tosis again. Again. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra come himself? That's kasha number three. Sorry, one second. Let's keep the board up. What's talk of the terrace to that? So let's take a look. And Tosis, let's try to begin to figure out what Tosis is saying. A quick show of hands. Let's work backwards. How many of you had a chance to see those Rambams in Rotzeach and Sanhedrin? Show of hands. I lost a lot of people's videos. So maybe give me a... now you're coming back. So feel free to raise your hand, and maybe even better, give me a... Okay, I see a lot of hands going up. Good. Give me... Dove has raised his hand electronically. Excellent. So sure, fantastic. How many of you saw this Tosis? Everyone saw Tosis? Give me a hand. Give a look. Okay. Let's see Tosis together. Let's see where it takes us. So again, Tosis is Me'alia. Let's see together. First question Tosis has is the din that the Alia goes in his bag is only for a sheep. But the Karban Pesach could be either a sheep or a goat. So Afagav, the Gedi Ein Alia also crave a Tosis, the Masal Me'alia. That by the goat, you're not mocker of the tail. Rov Pischein Hoya Taleh. And how did Rebbe Zera know to set the trap with the tail? Maybe it was going to be a goat. And you do eat the goat. And it wouldn't have worked. So number one, it could be... Tosa says, number one, but apparently, maybe most people, the Torah says you can eat either a sheep or a goat, but it could be that most people brought sheep. And in fact, it's not only based on this Gemara. Tosa doesn't specify it here, but I think as you work your way through the Kachim Prakim on Maseches Pesachim, Prakim 5 through 9, the deal with Karban Pesach, I think you hear about sheep more than you hear about goats. And Tosa has another answer. Shem Mehigidlo. It might be a pun, by the way. Gedi. Shem Mehigidlo. Tosa says, maybe we don't have the whole conversation. We only hear a couple lines of conversation. This probably wasn't a two-liner. Probably was a 10-minute conversation between Rebbe Zera and this fellow. He probably schmoozed in that a little bit to hear some more of what's going on. And then he, then Rebbe Zera jumped in with his dare. Oh, why don't you ask him for the tale? Maybe in the course of the conversation, the part that does not record in the Gemara, he had ascertained he wanted to hear, is it a sheep or a goat? And if he could lay this trap. A third possibility, by the way, is maybe he wasn't sure, but he figured it was the only thing he could do. He was hoping and praying that they're going to use a sheep, and that way this trick would work. Okay. And then Tosafot raises the second question, which we want to focus on. Why wouldn't Rebbe Seir Ola Regel? Three times a year. Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Well, what's he doing staying at Stephen? The Tosafot answer is, well, there are many rules. There are many categories of people who are not mechuyav in Aliyah L'Regel. As a matter of fact, Maseches Chagiga, which the first half of which is about Aliyah L'Regel, is one of those maseches that starts with a list, a long list of around 15 types of people who are not chayiv in Aliyah L'Regel. Number one, half the Jewish people not chayiv in Aliyah L'Regel. It's only chayiv on men, not on women. Then even among the males, the Mishnah has a long list of men who are a putter for some reason or another. So if you're very old and not able to walk on your own up, you're not mechuyav to walk all the way from your house to the Beis HaMikdash, you could take a donkey, and Mitzvah soon will be able to take trains and planes and cars, but the last bit leg, no pun intended, but the walking up Har HaBayis, you have to be able to do by yourself on your own power. You have to walk with your own feet. You can't be carried. You can't take a bike. You can't take an elevator. So he says, and Tosas says, if you don't own karka, if you're not a landowner, Tosas suggests you're not chayv in aliyah regel. Tosas says, yesh lomar, shalhaya lo karka, o zaken haya sheni yachal halach baraglav. The idea that you're not chayv in aliyah regel, if you don't have karka, that's a little stickier. But the zaken sheni yachal halach baraglav, that's a little smoother at first glance. Yeah, but then Tosas says, as a law, you see, Tosas only addressed themselves at first to why wasn't Ola Laregel? Three times a year, men are mechuyev to be Ola, most Jewish men are mechuyev to Ola Regel, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Hold on one second, DJ. But then Tosas, in the last line, makes a move, says, and just like they're not chayv in Leila Regel, they're also not chayv in Korban Pesach. The potter mi pesach kemo miriya. Those last four words of the first teretz are addressing the problem that, you know, there are two reasons why he should have been there. Aliyah l'regel three times a year, but also Karban Pesach. Women are not mechuyavos to aliyah l'regel, but they are mechuyavos in Karban Pesach. So they're still going to have to come up, they're not mechuyavos to come up Shavuos and Sukkos, but sort of like the way the description in the first parak of Shmuel, not exactly the same, to come up once a year. So Jewish women mechuyav is to come up once a year for Karban Pesach. So double kasha. This is Pesach. So you remember saying no one should become because the mitzvah leila regel. Okay, for that you have many peturim. Opening Mishachigia says there are many people who are not chayving in Karban Pesach. Not chayving leila regel three times a year. How about Karban Pesach? So Tosfos says, well, the same way, for instance, the fellow who can't walk is pater from Aliyah L'Regel, he's also pater from Karban Pesach. So you see that the note on the Mesoras HaShas, it sends it to the side or to the top of the Gemara, says, take a look at the Mishnah L'Melech, beginning of Karban Pesach, who says, Sof divrei tosus elu mitchilas ma'atsof and tshichim etzitamen. And Mishnah L'Melech says, this is a super shvera tosus. He says, how could you say, Tosas so smooth, nonchalantly says, oh, the same way that you're pater from, whoever's pater from Leila Regel is pater from Karban Pesach. Mishnah Melech says, that's demonstrably, it can't be true across the board, demonstrably, women are mechuyav as a Karban Pesach, and they're pater from Leila Regel. There you go. So it's clearly not the case that everyone who is pater from Leila Regel is pater from Karban Pesach. So maybe you could start saying, okay, but some of the paturim carry over, mehechatesi. Who told you? Who told you just because you're not able to walk up to Beis HaMikdash if you have no chiyav aliyah regel, therefore you're not mechuyav in Karban Pesach, mechatesi. Even on Pesach, women are not mechuyav to appear in the Azara. They may want to, they can volunteer, but not mechuyav to appear in Azara, but you have to be in Yerushalayim to eat Karban Pesach. As a matter of fact, Mishnah is saying, Pesach, later in Pesachim. Most Jews didn't come on Erev Pesach to Beis HaMikdash. Every Chabura would only send one or two members of the Chabura with the Karban Pesach into the Beis HaMikdash. And anyhow, Aliyah L'Regel happens the next day on Yontif itself. So they're not the same thing. Karban Pesach, Aliyah L'Regel, they happen in the same season, a day away from each other. And it's clearly not the case that everyone who's Pater from Aliyah L'Regel is Pater from Karban Pesach. And that's the point that the Mesoras HaShas is coined for the Mishnah Melech. So the first teretz that Tosas has is very, very difficult. Again, let's put it up on the board. Let's share that board. Sorry. All right. Why would Abseir come himself? The Kasha of Tosas Dibra Matzla Me'alia. So the first answer is, he was Potter on Aliyah L'Regel, and therefore Potter re Karban Pesach. As we said, the Mishnah Melech thinks it's very, very sure. How could that be? It's not always true that everyone's part from the other regular part of Karban Pesach. So there's more to say about that on the Kachem side. But let's close with Tosas's second teretz, and that will leave us what to work on tomorrow. Tosis says, quick question before I go on. Raise your hand. How many of you got into Harius today? Today or last night? Keep your hands up. Okay, chatzi chatzi. Beautiful. Okay. So we leave you the cliffhanger. Tosa says, you know what the second answer is? Inami nitzive chutzlaretzi. Tosa says, well, we know where Rebbe Bezerra was. He didn't come to Yerushalayim. He stayed in Netzivin. So where exactly was he when he was in Netzivin? So Tosa says, you know where Netzivin is? I'll show you where Netzivin is. You ready? Let's do another share screen. Yeah. Here's Netzivin on a Latin language map. I'm about to say, you're looking at Netzivin right now. Nusayibin. Nusaybin, near Kamishli. Where on earth are we? You see that? Let's zoom out a little bit so you'll know where we are. Anyone recognize where we are? We're on the border between Turkey and Syria. Let's zoom out a little more. And there's the Holy Land. We're several hundred miles northeast. I'm sorry, the map isn't fully loading. We're several hundred miles northeast of Eretz Yisrael. Netzivin, Tosis points out, is in Chutz La'aretz. Inami, Netzivin Chutz La'aretz. Netzivin was in Chutz La'aretz. It wasn't just not Yerushalayim. It was also not Eretz Yisrael. How does he know? K'demuvach b'sifrei parshas re'eh. V'o b'targim Yerushalmi. So if you look at the Sifrei in Parshas Re'eh, you look on the Targum in Chumash Bereishis, Erech Akad V'Kalnei, Be'eretz Shinar. The Pesukim there are listing cities in Eretz Shinar, in Iran, Iraq, right around here, by the Arami. He was from Armenia. It may not be the area that nowadays is called Armenia, but that's the term Aram is related. He was from this area. Erech Hakad v'Kalnei, the Targum says, is Hadas Netzivin v'Katisvi. So this is Akkad. Fascinating. Like, as in Akkadian. So the Tosa says, this is where he was. It was in Chutz La'aretz. Now, this might be... And then Tosa says, okay, I'm done. Now, an aspiring Lamdan will definitely ask what question. What's the question you should be asking against Tosis? Okay. Even leave aside the first teretz. Tosis gave a second teretz. What's your immediate reaction? You've been trained in the past to ask a very important question. What do you say, Nisanal? Nisanal? What? Yeah. So it's in Chutz La'aretz. Shkoyach. So that's intriguing. Tosis proved it. Tosis showed I have a Sifri. Look in the Sifri, you see in Tzivin Chutz La'aretz. You look in the Targum, you see in Tzivin Chutz La'aretz. Now I showed you we also have the capacity to look on a map. And Netzivin is probably Nusaybin. Definitely very far from Eretz Yisrael. But the question is, why the difference make a difference? Lamai nafkamina. Okay, so he's in Chutz La'aretz. How's the answer the question? It's an interesting piece of information, and therefore what? What's Tosis trying to say? So it was very far? Is that what you're trying to say? Okay. So you gotta do a mitzvah anyways. You gotta do a mitzvah anyways. Huh? Unless you say, it was too far, it was too dangerous. I mean, but this other fellow, this non-Jew, wasn't even clear in the mitzvah, and he was clearly traveling. I wonder where he was traveling from. Let's go back to that map again. He may have even been traveling from farther away. And he may have been coming from up here. He was coming from Erbil, or Mosul, or Armenia. And he was coming down through Netzivan on the way to Yerushalayim. I don't know, but he definitely coming from Netzivan. Maybe he was Rebbe Bezerra's neighbor. We're not really sure, but he definitely was in Netzivan, and he made his way all the way to Yerushalayim. So it wasn't impossible. It was definitely a doable trip. So what's Pshat? So presumably he means to say, no, he means to say Al Pi Din, since Rebbe Bezerra was in Chutzlaretz, therefore he was Potter from what? A Jew who doesn't live in Chutzlaretz, doesn't live there in Israel, is Potter from Karban Pesach? Where did that come from? The same way the Mishnah Melech said, oh, who told you this? Because you're Potter from Lila Regal, you're Potter from Karban Pesach. Tosfos, Mishnah Melech's Kasha in the first Teretz of Tosfos, barely says, something to work with. There is, we know that someone who is a putter from, someone who's can't walk on his own two feet is, at least we know that he is putter from Lila Regal. That's clear in Maseches Chagiga. Where does this come from? That just because you're a Ben Chutzlaretz, therefore you're a putter from Lila Regal, we could put up on the board here, but that requires understanding. So where we're going to go next time is, Mitzvashem, tomorrow we will wrap this up. This is not the only kasha about Eretz Yisrael popping up in places that we don't expect it. There is, as you saw in Kiddushin, the Mishnah near the end of the first paragraph of Kiddushin gives a rules. A number of Mishnahs to end the first paragraph of Kiddushin give rules about mitzvahs, klalim about mitzvahs, which mitzvahs apply to men, which mitzvahs apply to women, and mitzvahs about parents, and mitzvahs about children. And one of the rules there is which mitzvahs apply in Eretz Yisrael specifically, and which mitzvahs apply all over the world. And you saw the Mishnah gives a rule, which those of you who got deep into Mar Makomos might have noticed, Akasha. The Mishnah gives a rule of thumb, which mitzvahs apply, which mitzvahs are limited to Eretz Yisrael, versus which mitzvahs are not geographically limited. But as you go weiter in Mar Makomos, you discover that rule has some exceptions. Although the Mishnah says that the only mitzvahs are limited to Eretz Yisrael, the agricultural mitzvahs, and a lot of other mitzvahs that seem to be limited too. So something's going on. Eretz Yisrael pops up. Eretz Yisrael seems to pop up as a limit on many different halachas. One of them is Aliyah L'Regel and Karban Pesach, specifically Karban Pesach, according to this Tosfos. So it's at first, as Nisanel said, the kasha is a local kasha. How does the Teretz answer the kasha? Right? Why does the difference make a difference? You learn Tosfos carefully, Minei Ubei, you look at Tosfos, say, what's going on? Otherwise, we're going to see, to answer that kasha, we're going to leave the Minei Ubei, and we're going to see that this kasha is not only, it is a local kasha here in Gimel and Beis, but it's not only a local kasha. That kasha actually is a part of a larger pattern of a number of areas of halacha where the mitzvah or the isra, that parsha, the Torah, Chazal tells us, limited to Yisrael in ways that seem at first surprising. And if we can figure out, there's a Gemara in Harius and a Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos and Bechoros, hopefully will give us a hint, a clue to how to begin to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Why else might it didn't be limited to Eretz Yisrael? And once we develop that based on elsewhere in Shas and Rambam, we're going to come back here, and actually with the help of the Sefer HaChinuch that we looked at this morning, it will give us greater insight into the pshat in this second Teretz of Tosfos, understanding why would it be that you could suggest, as Tosfos does, if you live in Chutzlaretz, you're not mechuyev in Karban Pesach. It's not Trumas and Maestros. So Mirtzem, next time, I want to do two things, Ian-wise. Number one, to put the pieces together. I sketched out where we're going to go, and that we have to actually go there, to look around and see what else is going on with Eretz Yisrael and see how that's going to help us to come back and understand, ultimately to get out into Shas for the sake of coming back and understanding our Tosfos right here on Gilman Beis, understanding Pshat and our Tosfos. And then, That's the first thing we're going to do next time. And Bli Neder, the second thing we'll do next time, I want to share with you, we laid out three kashas so far on the sugya. And each kasha, we had a couple of terutzim, two terutzim, three terutzim, unrelated to each other. And then next time, first thing we're going to do is try and work on the second terutz to the third kasha. What's Pshat Tosa says, Eretz Yisrael is different. But then I want to share with you a Maritz Chayas. The second thing I want to do next time, share the Maritz Chayas, who has a whole other approach to the sugya, answers all three kashas, boom. He has one chiddush in halacha and in history, that together, which he bases on a whole host of gemaras, and based on his yisod, all of the kashas in our sugya can be answered with one teretz. They seem so disparate. The question of ne'manus, the question of why they be manish the nachri, and the question of why did Rebbe Mezera show up. But the Maritz Chayas says one kasha, it's going to knock out all of, one teretz, excuse me, is going to answer all the kashas. That's the Mirtz and where we're going to be going next time. Hopefully we can cover both those next time. See if we get that far. Mirtz Hashem. To understand deeply this Taisus, broadly and deeply, and then to see the Maritz Chayas' approach to the sugya. Before we go, don't hang up just yet. Don't hang up just yet. A couple of key announcements. One second. A couple of key announcements. Yeah. DJ shared with me that Tom Chay Shabbos is in desperate need of volunteers. If you are in Bergen County or plan to find yourself in Bergen County today, Tom Chay Shabbos apparently is in desperate need of volunteers today at noon at their headquarters to pack Pesach boxes. I'm just reading to what DJ sent me. I don't know anything more about this. So if this is shaykh to you, please reach out to DJ or to Tom Chay Shabbos headquarters to find out more. If you do not live in Bergen County, I would strongly advise you, but you're a young, healthy fellow, I would strongly advise that you find out what chesed opportunities there are in your area that may be in need of volunteers. I'm sure Tom Chay Shabbos Bergen County is not the only group, obviously, that's packing. There are a lot of needs in every area. It's not just a question of funding. It's a question there are older people who can't make Pesach themselves, having food dropped off, or people who can't afford. And if you're young and strong and able-bodied, obviously in consultation with your parents and with your medical advisor, if it's something that's safe to do, there certainly are needs in all neighborhoods. And DJ also shares that he'll be making a Zoom CM on Erev Pesach. So if the chaver, keep your eyes open for more details, TBA, TBD. If you want to join Siumim, that would be amazing. I know also there are one or two other fellows so far who shared with me your plan to make a Siumim, and that is that's Gevaldik. And hopefully we can share each other's Siumim. So actually, it's something normally we would not be able to do because we all be making. And normally, we would also be making our Siumim in different communities on Erev Pesach, and we would not assume that we could see each other and hear each other. Maybe we can figure out how that can happen together as a shir. That would be Mamash Gevaldik. Okay. Something to think of. Maybe you can even line them all up. That would be very, very nice. More announcements coming in. No more announcements coming in. No more announcements coming in. We will be in Tarbo. No more announcements from me. So we will have to, as the week progresses, we'll talk about next week, where our schedule is for next week, Sunday or beyond. If you did not, two reminders. Number one, if you, as I said before, when guys were coming in, Yashakov to all those whose asynchronous Ian Seder has been going well and you shared that. Yashakov to all those who has not been going well and you had the honesty to share that and to, that's how Cheshvan Nefesh works. We grow from that. Ashreichem to both groups. Not everyone fits into either of those two groups. Some of you have not yet responded. So if you've not yet responded, please take care of that sometime today. Let me know the good, bad, the ugly, but let me know how it's been going and they can plan for even further improvement going forward. That's number one. That was an assignment to Google Classroom, which everyone has access to. Number two, if you want to schmooze, I would love to schmooze. I've enjoyed schmoozing with a lot of chevra. Whether you identified yourself on the on the Google sheet or not, it doesn't really matter, whatever works for you. Put a check mark to take a slot or put your name on to take a slot. Either way, you're not mechayev to, but I'd love to even just touch base for a few minutes, see how you guys are doing. So please take advantage of that. Rabboisai, what? Yeah. So it's already, there's already, end of last week, I added another tab called Sav. So just make sure if you're signing for a slot that you sign up for the right week. Make sure you have on the Sav one. It is at least a couple minutes ago, it was pretty empty. A lot of options. Feel free to take advantage. Rabbi, have a gewaldic day. So good to see all of you. So good to learn together. Looking forward, Mishem, to a chance to schmooze one-on-one and to learn together tomorrow morning. Have an awesome, awesome, healthy, happy rest of the day. Thank you. Ellie, be well. Donnie, be well. Noam, be well. Parrots. So some days it'll be even later because there are some days that the schedule has both an 11:30 slot and a first period slot. So I assume that means that they'll have to double check with Rabbi Apfel. I don't know what his home schedule is. I want to double check later today. Yeah. Sure. To plan for the future. Absolutely. Bisimcha. No problem. Dani, Zay Gesund. It's a treat to see you. So pizza for lunch also. That was special for Love Malka.